Toad, who'd crept under the bed. "Shut up," said Angua. "What?" said Carrot. "I found out about the room," said Angua quickly. "Someone called Edward de Eth," said Carrot, sitting down on the bed. The ancient springs went groin, groin, grink.
"How did you know that?"
"I think de Eth stole the gun. I think he killed Beano. But assassins killing without being paid, it's worse than dwarfs and tools. It's worse than clowns and faces. I hear Cruces is really upset. He's got assassins looking for the boy all over the city."
"Oh, well, I'd hate to be in Edward's shoes when they find him."
"I'd hate to be in his shoes now, and I know where they are, you see. They're on his poor feet, and they're dead."
"The assassins have found him, then?"
"No, someone else did. And then Cuddy and Detritus did. If I'm any judge, he's been dead for several days. You see, that can't be right. But I rubbed the Beano makeup off and took off the red nose, and it was definitely him. And the wig's the right kind of red hair. He must have gone straight to Hammerhock."
"But someone shot at Detritus and killed the beggar girl."
"Yes." Angua sat down beside him.
"And it couldn't have been Edward."
Carrot undid his breastplate and pulled off his mail shirt.
"So we're looking for someone else.
A third man. But there are no clues. There's just some man with a gun, somewhere in the city, anywhere. And I'm tired." The springs went glink again as Carrot stood up and staggered over to the chair and table. He sat down, pulled a piece of paper towards him, inspected a pencil, sharpened it on his sword, and after a moment's thought began to write. Angua watched him in silence. Carrot had a short-sleeved leather vest under his mail. There was a birthmark at the top of his left arm. It was crown-shaped.
"Are you writing it all down like Captain Vimes did?" she said after a while.
"No."
"What are you doing then?"
"I'm writing to my mum and dad."
"Really?"
"I always write to my mum and dad. I promised them. Anyway, it helps me think. I always write letters home when I'm thinking. My dad sends me lots of good advice, too."
There was a wooden box in front of Carrot. Letters were stacked in it. Carrot's father had been in the habit of replying to Carrot on the back of Carrot's own letters, because paper was hard to come by at the bottom of the dwarf mine.
"What kind of good advice?"
"About mining, usually. Moving rocks, you know. Propping and shoring. You can't get things wrong in a mine. You have to do things right."
His pencil scritched on the paper. The door was still ajar, but there was a tentative tap on it, which said, in a kind of metaphorical Morse code, that the tapper could see very well that Carrot was in his room with a scantily clad woman and was trying to knock without actually being heard. Sergeant Colan coughed. The cough had a leer in it.
"Yes, Sergeant," said Carrot, without looking round.
What do you want me to do next, sir?"
"Send them out in squads, Sergeant. At least one human, one dwarf, and one troll in each."
"Yes, sir. What'll they be doing, sir?"
"They'll be being visible, Sergeant."
"Right, sir. Sir, one of the volunteers just now, it's Mr. Bleakley, sir, from Elm Street. He's a vampire. Well, technically, but he works up at the slaughterhouse, so it's not really..."
"Thank him very much and send him home, Sergeant." Colon glanced at Angua.
"Yes, sir. Right," he said reluctantly. "But he's not a problem, it's just that he needs these extra homogoblins in his blood."
"No!"
"Right, fine. I'll tell him to go away, then."
Colon shut the door. The hinge leered.
"They call you sir," said Angua. "Do you notice that?"
"I know. It's not right. People ought to think for themselves, Captain Vimes said."
"The problem is, people only think for themselves if you tell them to. How do you spell eventuality?"
"I don't."
"Okay."
Carrot still didn't look round. "We'll hold the city together through the rest of the night, I think. Everyone's seen sense."
"No, they haven't," said Angua in the privacy of her own head. "They've seen you. It's like hypnotism. People live your vision. You dream just like Big Fido, only he dreamed a nightmare and you dream for everyone. You really think everyone is basically nice. Just for a moment, while they're near you, everyone else believes it too."
From somewhere outside came the sound of marching knuckles. Detritus's troop were making another circuit. "Oh, well. He's got to know sooner or later."
"Carrot?"
"Hmm?"
"You know, when Cuddy and the Troll and me joined the watch? Well, you know why it was us three, don't you?"
"Of course. Minority group representation. One troll, one dwarf, one woman."
"Ah!"